Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Isn't it great to have people around you who applaud, who get excited for you, who encourage you, who are standing there and watching you and your life, and in moments like this where we get to watch people respond to God and what God is doing in their life, and to have, I want you to know, see, you're looking up here. I'm back there looking at them and seeing all you. What a view. I'm telling you, it's a great view. Because all these people, you're worshiping, and then they get baptized, and you clap under the Lord, and you applaud for them. And it's, I'll tell you, it's more meaningful, but it is like watching, it's like watching a ball game. No, I mean it. And where your team is always winning. Because nobody was out here going, oh, man, oh, they got baptized. You know, I mean, I even heard some whistles. Don't feel bad about that. That's all right. That's acceptable. Okay. Make a joyful noise. Listen, if you ever heard me sing, you'd prefer me to whistle. Telling you the truth. And I'll tell you, that's a great thing to watch people celebrate what God's doing, and to cheer people on. I mean, don't you like to be cheered on? I guess not. Okay. Well, I'll just speak for my own life. I like it. I mean, do you like to be cheered on? Do you like to be encouraged? How many of you grew up without enough of it? Nah, don't raise your hand. When we encourage one another, we help fuel with what the Holy Spirit is doing in that person's life. And we've got to learn to celebrate with great joy the things that God does in people. You want to talk about a unified body. You want to talk about a growing, living church. It's when we do life things for one another. How many of you like when you do something wrong that you know was wrong? Just think for a moment maybe what that was. I know many of you would have to go back several years. If you're going back several years and you're married, just ask your spouse. They can bring something up more recent. How many of you like when you do something wrong and come on up, Jim. You can come up here and sit with Lori. What's that? When you do something wrong and you know you did something wrong, how many of you just love when somebody comes up and they condemn you and you're already feeling guilty because you know it was wrong? Don't you just love when they come up and condemn you? Not that I don't deserve the rebuke. Not that I don't deserve the heavy hand. Not that I don't deserve to be condemned. I remember one of my children, well, it's happened to more than one, but I remember on an instance where one of my children, know they did wrong. You know, they were acting like their dad. And did something wrong. They knew they were wrong. And then they had to talk to Dad. And I didn't condemn them for what they did wrong, because I already knew that they knew, and you could see it all over them. And I didn't have to condemn them. But I moved past the condemnation part. And I moved to the where do we go from here and how we don't do that again. Now, there's other moments where they've done wrong and I've said, hey, you know you did wrong. You know, hey, I, you know. But they were like, that's it? I said, yeah, what else did you want? Well, I thought, you know, you'd be grounding me and you'd be doing this and all, you know, all those kind of things. And I want you to know there's a time for that. So don't think, oh, I hope my parents are listening. I'm getting them the tape. Oh, there's a time for that. But they know they did wrong. Moved around the condemnation part, talked with them, said, all right. And they're like, that's it? I said, yeah, that's it. What do you, you know, they were expecting for the big, which they deserved. Moved around it. The Lord disciplines those he loves. But do you know that he did not come into this world to condemn the world? Jesus did not show up here on earth to condemn us. You listen to the popular verse here. The ones you see at the football games, you know, in the stands. The two dots. 1:6. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. Now, I know you know this, but I want you to listen to this. Because in John 3:16, this great verse, this marvelous verse, there's a dark word. There's a black word in this verse. I want you to listen to this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now, the world does not mean the earth. It means the inhabitants. He so loved people. God so loved people on earth that he gave his only son, his one and only, that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world or the people of the world, but to save the world through him. That Jesus became the one condemned, though he didn't do anything wrong. He came to exchange places with us, that we could be saved, we who were guilty. Now listen to this. Next verse. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, though we are guilty. It says those who believe in him are not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to know, if you don't like being condemned, the only way out of it is Jesus. Because it says here that if we don't believe in him, we're condemned already. You can do some nice things. You can be confident in all that you are and all those kind of things. But I want you to know, unless you believe in Jesus, you already stand condemned. Look at it this way. You're on death row. If I don't believe in Jesus, I'm on death row. It's just time ticking away before I go into an eternity without him. Here's the dark word in John 3:16, the great salvation verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. Whoever believes on him shall not perish. There is the dark word, perish. Waste away, be gone, exiled for eternity. Have you ever heard about a really cool party and get together with some of your friends and you heard about it after the fact and you weren't invited? Have you ever heard of that? You ever have it happen to you? Sure, I think we all have. It's like you were abandoned. It's like you were exiled, like you were banished. It's like, well, I thought that I was a close friend to them. Right? Isn't that what you go? You go home and talk to your spouse. You go, well, I sure thought we were friends and we were close. And, you know, you're feeling sorry for yourself. The reason you didn't maybe make the list is that you weren't as close to them as you thought you were. I want you to know that heaven and eternity is the same way. The way we assure of being there has a lot to do with our relationship with Him today. The difference is we're all invited. He's not overlooking anybody in this room. You think, oh, He wouldn't have me at His party. I'm not made for heaven. I mean, look at me. Look at all I did. Blah, 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 blah. I want you to know that heaven is filled with people who have histories. One of Jesus' greatest titles in the scripture is this. Jesus, the friend of sinners. Jesus came to save the world, not condemn the world. Now here's the hard part, is His people, the church, have sometimes condemned some people. And we are supposed to represent God. And now they say, well, if that's what God is like, there's no hope for me. If I'm already condemned, what's it matter? I want to tell you something. Forgive us for not being the perfect church. It doesn't mean we let anything go. Holiness is the standard for which we pursue because we are saved by His grace, not that we continue in sin by no means, but rather because we're saved, we now try to attain the law through His grace and mercy, having a changed life. We're in process. The spots and the wrinkles are being removed. But I want you to know, do not use the church or Christians for an excuse not to follow the Christ. It won't fly. There's some in this room, you go through this battle of, you know, the Lord's reach to you. And in your heart, you believe in Him. There's some things in this life that maybe got a hold on you, and it makes it very difficult. You think, you look at these baptisms, and you go, that's fantastic. But I don't know if I could do that. Because it's a public profession of faith. And we get concerned about what is somebody else going to think. Oh, we think that's high school stuff. That's middle school stuff. Oh, it follows you into your adult years. It followed people in this book in their adult years. It says in John chapter 12, round about verse 24, it says, many of the Pharisees began to believe in Jesus, but they would not confess Him because they were afraid that they would be kicked out of the synagogue. And they preferred the praise of men rather than the honor and the praise that God gives them. There's a point that though our faith is personal, our faith is not to be private. Our faith is personal, but it's got to be the kind of faith that moves us to being transformed. Changed. That we don't think like we used to think. We don't do the things we used to do. And the people around us notice that there's this changing going on. And that we are not afraid of that change or what they may think, because we would prefer the praise of God, because He came to save us, not condemn us. Maybe you're in this room this morning saying, I believe in God, but I'm not really living for Him. I mean, I do my own thing, and I don't really read my Bible much, and I don't pray often, and I'm not really a churchgoer, and, you know, just I did that when I was a kid, and it never really meant much. And, you know, I grew up in a, for a part of my childhood years, grew up in a mainline church. And though maybe it wasn't as expressive or exciting, maybe I didn't find it real meaningful because I didn't understand it, the gospel was still always present to me. And I can't blame it on that church. Can't blame it on that pastor. Can't blame it on my family, because the gospel was still all around me. But I had to come to a point where I had to recognize that Jesus saves. He doesn't condemn. If I respond to him, and I have to come to a point where I have to make a decision about who Jesus is and who he is to me. Do I really believe he's the Savior? Because if I do, that means my life has got to begin to follow after him, because I need all kinds of change. I do not want to perish. I want to respond to the invitation to come to him. My own initiative, my own decision, because he's made the invitation and he's laid the invitation open for me. And I need the forgiveness of sin. I need to be saved. And it's not so much the terrible things that I've done, it's that I was born to a sinful man and a sinful woman who were born to sinful men and women who were born to sinful people. So you know what that means? We were born in sin. We didn't even have to do anything wrong, and we were already condemned. And God so loved us that he sent his son to be the friend and the savior of people. He came with the power of grace and mercy that inspired people. It affected them, yes, for their destination in eternity, but he inspired and affected them in the current life that they lived. This is not a faith in Christ so that when eternity comes for me, I'm ready. I can begin to experience eternity and mercy and the kindness of God in relationship with him before I ever have to pass through death. It's an interesting thought, because all of us hate to be condemned. And yet if we don't believe in Jesus as the Savior, we're the very thing we hate already. We're condemned. Not because he condemned us. It's because we would not leave sin and step into his marvelous forgiveness. I want you to know, God's not condemning the world. He came to save it, because the world was already condemned because they did not believe in him. I would like to move from condemnation to being saved. That's why. And because he showed that kind of loving kindness. I have found out that loving kindness has way more influence and impact to bring people along than condemning them. And God understood that, because the scripture says the loving kindness of God draws us to him. Not the big ogre God with the club in the sky. It's not who he is. Jesus came as a real man into real life to save real people with a real salvation.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.